Hello and welcome to the monthly webinar for all session clients. It is the third Monday of the month at 6 o'clock Pacific time. My name is Brittany Lefko and I am here to lead you in tonight's meeting. I want to begin by asking, of course, for questions. That's the first thing that I always do. Very often people have questions right away. Again, I encourage everybody to send questions in advance. It definitely helps, especially if you can't be here live, either because of time difference or because of other things. It's really, really great to have you guys participate. I can't read your minds. I don't know what kind of questions you have. So it's only through your participation that we can get these questions answered and clarify everything. So if you do have questions at all, make sure to raise your hand using the hand raising button and I will unmute you and answer your question. If you don't have a microphone, go ahead and type in questions and they'll come straight to me and I can answer them that way. So I guess where I'll start here is I have a couple things that I want to talk about. And then again, if anybody has a question, just go ahead and raise your hand. And as soon as I have a pause, I'll go ahead and address your question. A couple questions that I was thinking about beforehand were for you guys were, what patterns have you already worked on? What patterns do you still see in your life? What patterns do you want to work on? And what that made me realize is that very often people don't know when they have patterns. So one of the main themes that I wanted to talk about today is, how do you know if it's a pattern? Throughout our lives, we have times when we get frustrated, we have times when we get upset, we have times when we take things personally, and it's easy to feel like that's just the way life is. That's just the way things are, and it isn't going to change. So the answer to this really broad question, how do you know if it's a pattern, is if you're feeling uncomfortable, limited, really if you have any unwanted behavior or emotion, that is a pattern. So there's no such thing as an unwanted behavior or emotion that we can't work on. Patterns range from fear of public speaking, procrastination, lack of self-confidence, to really specific things, right? Like feeling uncomfortable in large groups or around authority figures, to noticing that you're uncomfortable talking to women, or even just in school that you know, you've decided to go back to school and everybody else in the room is 20 and you're 55, and that could bring up beliefs. So really anything at all is a pattern that we can work on. So, you know, some of the things that I was thinking about are ways in which we engage with friends. Do you have as many friends as you'd like? Do the friends that you have, do they love you and trust you in the way that you want to be loved and trusted? Do you love and trust them in the way that you want to love and trust your friends? Do you believe that it's possible for you to be surrounded by people that care about you and respect you? Money, do you have as much money as you want in your life? What are the views that you have of money that affect your financial situation? So if things are showing up externally that aren't working for you, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can necessarily manifest them or law of attraction them. But what you can do is look at the barriers that prevent you from creating what you want in your life. So beliefs like you have to work hard to make money. There's an elect group of people that can make money and I'm not a part of that group, right? We'll have you behave differently in relation to money. We'll have you feel and think differently about money. Beliefs like money doesn't last will probably prevent you from saving. If you believe it's not going to last anyway, there's no point in saving, right? So the different beliefs that we have cause patterns that aren't necessarily the most common patterns or the most talked about patterns, but they still affect you in your life. So does anybody who's on the call right now want to share maybe something going on in their life that they might not have thought was a pattern, but now they maybe see is a pattern? Bill, I'm going to call on you. Bill, can you hear me? Bill? Nope, no Bill. Let me try someone else. Christy. Christy, can you hear me? No? What about Marion? Marion, you're on the line here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. How are you doing today, Marion?
I'm good, but yes, I'm fine. Was I supposed to ask a question?
No, I just, you know, I'm trying to encourage people to participate. So sometimes I figured if I just call on somebody, it might bring something up. Is there, have you worked on full patterns before?
Yes.
Yeah, and did you notice? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask about that experience. If you noticed, you know, the pattern really go away, what that change was like for you.
One of the earliest things I worked on actually with Morty was the idea that money is hard. And money is not hard. It's just a matter of my applying myself. But the idea that it's possible is now part of my lexicon. It wasn't before.
Wow, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was that a pattern that you came forward knowing was a pattern? Did you come forward saying this was my problem, or was it something that maybe you just kind of thought was the way things were and realized through that conversation with Morty that it was a pattern?
I think I had the erroneous idea that I was, there was something about money that I was not supposed to have any.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that came from.
But yeah, that's such a great example, because kind of like with what I'm talking about, very often we don't think of our patterns as patterns. We just say, well, I'm just not meant to have money. That's not a pattern. It's just a fact, right?
Right. And it actually is a pattern, because, you know, since I changed my mind about that, or since I went through the process over it, I realized that if I want to generate money, all I have to do are do certain things. And if I am willing to do those things, the money will come. And if I'm not willing to do those things, the money won't come. It's real simple stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what a perfect example. Because I think very often people assume, well, I don't have any problems to work on. You know, certain things in my life don't work, but that's just the way they are. They're not the way I want them, but that's just the way things are. And I think it's really, really valuable to realize that anything that you don't like, you can work on, right? So instead of just saying, well, I guess I'm just not meant to have a lot of money, if you realize, well, maybe that's something I can work on, you can see that once that feeling goes away, all of a sudden, wait a minute, I am meant to have money just like everybody else, right?
Absolutely.
Great. Way to go. Did you have any other questions or comments?
No, I just called in to listen.
Great. Okay. Thanks so much, Marian. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's see. What about Neetsan? Neetsan, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can. Hi there. How you doing today?
I'm tired. How are you?
I am good, thank you. What about for you? Did you have a similar experience to Marian where you worked on a full pattern that you maybe didn't realize was a pattern?
I think that the wording that when you say didn't realize it was a pattern, what's important is not that I had an intellectual understanding that there is such a thing as a pattern, and yes, it has its effect on me in my limiting myself, but getting beyond the idea of it and actually getting a hold on it. So my whole experience with the LEFCO method is that it becomes obvious, but that's not enough. And even working on each individual limiting belief has not given me the freedom I intend to get. So it's a process of working to internalize it. That's what I think is the next step after, oh yeah, you know, it's true that if I have a belief that money requires enormous effort, then that's how I've limited myself. That's that's an amazing discovery. That's not enough. There has to be something else happening where I...
Right.
And I think it's important for you, as the collective you of all the LEFCO people, to present that as part of the process. It's not enough. You know, if God gave the Ten Commandments, it's clearly not working. And it's way beyond just giving the statement. So what are the steps beyond that that I have to do in order to make this actually work?
Yeah.
That's all that's important.
Got it. So, Nitsan, it sounds like what you're describing is actually the difference between eliminating beliefs and eliminating patterns. So what happens, and this is something I think I might have mentioned briefly last week, but I'm really happy you brought up because it's extremely important, is that eliminating beliefs, like you said, is empowering, it opens up possibilities, and it really affects our lives, but it doesn't eliminate full problems. And it's not going to completely turn your life around necessarily. And eliminating beliefs as such is not our goal. It's a number of beliefs, clusters of beliefs that make up our patterns. And until you get rid of all of the underlying beliefs in any pattern, the pattern isn't going to go away. So you might feel a little bit better about money. You might have a sense you don't have to work as hard, but that doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to have a positive relationship to money. But if there's other underlying beliefs and you get rid of all of them, that's when the pattern changes. So fear of public speaking is a really great example that if you eliminate the belief I'm not good enough and I'm not worthwhile and I'm stupid and if I make a mistake or fail, I'll be rejected, that's going to have a profound impact on your life, but you're still likely going to be afraid of public speaking. But you'll be way less afraid, but you'll still be a little bit afraid. But if you get rid of all of the underlying beliefs, the pattern goes away completely, and it's as though you were never afraid to speak in public. And very often, at the end, people will say, "What are you? I wasn't that scared to speak, was I?" And you read back what they said originally, and they're shocked, right? So it sounds like what you're talking about, that kind of next step, is not eliminating beliefs just to eliminate beliefs, but understanding the importance of eliminating full patterns and eliminating all of the patterns that you want to eliminate. So maybe you don't procrastinate anymore and maybe you have a higher sense of self. So you're a lot more self-confident, but you still have issues, you know, closing the deal at work. You know, you're a financial advisor and you're having a hard time building relationships of trust with your clients. They just don't seem to respond well to you and you can't understand why. So it's about eliminating all of the different beliefs in every pattern and all of the different patterns that are causing, you know, uncomfortability in your life or that are making you behave and feel ways that you don't want to feel and behave. So I guess a part of it is really about being thorough. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I would challenge you. And I wonder if making sense here is complete enough. I have no extensive experience as you guys do because I've only got my own life and my own very limited experience with the LEFCO method. But I went through all of the beliefs.
The natural confidence?
Yeah, in the natural confidence. And I now am going through it again because it just did not eliminate... it did not liberate me to go through it all. And so it might be that there's a belief that maybe I'm a really hard case. Maybe there are another 20 beliefs that you didn't list that I have to go through in order to unlock myself. But I don't know. I think that there is something else at work, which is a resistance of some sort, or maybe some other thing that has, some process that has to that I have to activate.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I have two different ideas here, and it's actually another thing I'm really happy that you brought up for people who have a hard time eliminating beliefs. There's two different things that are very likely. One of them is, like you said, you have some kind of a belief. Either it could be anything from change is difficult, or you know any kind of a belief that you have about eliminating beliefs that would prevent them from fully going away. And that belief would definitely prevent you from being able to eliminate beliefs and feel, like you said, liberated in the way that you know, would after eliminating all of those beliefs. So that is very possible. A second possibility is that you are kinesthetic. So what that means is that you feel your beliefs rather than seeing them. So let me ask you a question. If you're eliminating a belief, let's say mistakes and failures are bad, does it seem like you can see it in the world? Does it get a sense that you can see it and point to it?
Very interesting that you note that, because as I went through this, I wrote to what's Mrs. Lefkoe?
Shelley.
Shelley, yeah, Auntie Shelley. So I wrote to Auntie Shelley, and as I was going through it, I kept remarking that for me, it just does not work to say, can you see what's going on?
Okay, that's the more likely option. So I too am a kinesthetic learner. So I understand things because I feel them, not because I see them. And the words, can you see it, have always made no sense to me. Can you see mistakes and failures are bad? No, what does that even mean, right? I felt like mistakes and failures were bad. And we're about 10% of people. And so for people who natural confidence doesn't work for, very frequently it's because they're kinesthetic. So it sounds like the reason why your beliefs aren't going away is the same reason why beliefs didn't go away for me at the beginning, because I didn't understand that terminology. Can you see it? It didn't really mean anything to me. So we have a kinesthetic process, which is very similar to the regular process, but we take out the seeing and we replace it with the feeling. And I don't remember if there's any kinesthetic part included in natural confidence, but my suggestion would be to have a session with one of our certified facilitators, either Shelley or me or any one of us, and try to go through the kinesthetic process and see how different it feels. And my bet would be those beliefs go away really easily and quickly, because we'll actually be speaking your language and it will be the kind of learning process that you actually understand and can relate to. So what you're describing is actually, like I said, the exact same experience that I had trying to eliminate beliefs in the beginning.
So what happens in a session with you that didn't happen in the process as it's presented by Morty and Shelley? Because they do say there are moments where the two say things like, and if you didn't see it, maybe you didn't see it, maybe it just came up for you, right? So that's also part of it. Should not that...
It is.
Solve the problem? Or is there something in a session with you that would be more effective than what is already contained?
I would say for somebody who's newer to the process, who hasn't experienced the kinesthetic process before, yes. It's just a lot more in depth, and it's working with somebody to really get the places that you're getting stuck and to really walk you through the kinesthetic process. We've been updating over the last year or so to make it more comfortable for kinesthetic people, and using, you know, practicing it on people and getting feedback over it over and over again and constantly updating. And what we found is that it really is just some of the smaller nuances that make a pretty huge difference. And I think that if you were to work with somebody and have that process used and really understand how the feelings led to that belief and get rid of the beliefs, that you might be able to then go back by yourself over some of the other beliefs using the knowledge you gain from using the kinesthetic process. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'd have to do them with a facilitator. But my guess is after using the kinesthetic process, you might be able to do some of them by yourself or using the natural confidence program and just changing some of the words based off of what you learn in the session. But it really is different. And I strongly, strongly suggest you try it out. Like I said, just because that was my exact experience. And it's hard because, you know, Morty and Shelley are my parents. So when I couldn't eliminate beliefs, I got a little bit worried. and especially because I was able to use it on other people before I had even eliminated my own beliefs. I was certified and trained in the process very young. I mean, I grew up with it. And I was always very interested in it. So I had already gone through the training. I understood everything about it. I could talk about it. And I was already able to be a facilitator if I had wanted to be, and I still couldn't get rid of my own beliefs. And it wasn't until I started using the updated kinesthetic process that I've been able to do that. So, I would try it, because once you start eliminating patterns, I think you'll find that there's not really another, it does do it all. You know, that once you eliminate the full pattern and once you start eliminating full patterns, you notice that things in your life just change, you know, pretty dramatically. They just start to unfold very differently. And I think it will feel very different for you.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, good. So, yeah. Did you have any other questions, Nitsan, that I can address for you?
No, I think one of my beliefs that I don't want to get rid of is that beliefs actually are limiting me. And I will get that later. So, no, I think you've helped me a great deal.
One thing, sorry, it looks like the phone's going off in the background for you. Great, thanks. One thing that I do want to say, and again, I'm always pointing out to people how helpful it is when you raise your hand, because that wasn't even really designed to be a question, but it's something I'm really happy that you brought up. Very often people are resistant to eliminating different kinds of beliefs because they're afraid of, well, if I eliminate the belief, what if it's helping me? So for example, there's a belief, what makes me good enough is achieving things. It's a very common belief among overachievers. And they say, but achieving has gotten me to where I am today. And if I get rid of that belief, am I still going to want to achieve? And the answer is, when you have a belief, you don't have a choice. You can't see outside of that belief. And so you're limited. When you get rid of the belief, that doesn't mean you stop wanting to achieve. And it doesn't mean all of a sudden you believe the opposite. It just means you have a choice. So for example, with the belief, what makes me good enough is achieving, if you no longer believe that achieving makes you good enough, you can now achieve because you're passionate about what you want in life, because it still makes you feel good, because you want to be successful, but you don't get caught up in moments when you need to fail in order to get where you want to go. Sometimes we need to not be achieving as learning experiences along the way. And when you give yourself the space to fail and to make mistakes and to not live up to expectations, you pave the way for growing and learning, which will help you achieve bigger in the future. So if you get rid of the belief that beliefs are limiting, or whatever, you know, those particular beliefs are about beliefs, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to become limited. It just means that you open up the space to eliminate the beliefs that are already in your way, right?
Right. If I eliminate all my beliefs, then I'll disappear.
And that is the best part of the process of everything, is after you eliminate beliefs, we do something called the Who Am I Really process, also known as the creator space. And for everyone on the call who's had sessions, you know about this space and you know what it feels like. And what it basically gets you to see is, as a little kid, you're born this little ball. And you're born right with this little ball that you call Nitsan, or that I call Brittany. And over time, I look out into the world and I say, oh, mom and dad are critical. I guess that means I'm not good enough. And I sculpt a little bit of I'm not good enough. and I make a mistake and I fail and I get yelled at and I say, well, I guess mistakes and failures are bad. And throughout my life, I sculpt this ball of clay and I forget I'm not the ball of clay. I'm the one sculpting the ball of clay. Who you are is not the sum total of your beliefs, but who you are is the I that looked out into the world, interpreted it, and then created those beliefs. So when you get rid of all of these beliefs, what you find is who you are is the creator, and you're still there, right? So it's a very empowering thing to see if you create the beliefs that create your life. So if you say mistakes and failures are bad, you think, feel, and behave as if that is the truth. And when that goes away, all of a sudden you open up possibilities for mistakes and failures to be learning experiences, for them to be positive, for them to help you take the risks that you need to achieve the major exciting dreams that you never believed were possible, right? All of a sudden you're opening up all these doors because who you are is not your beliefs. Who you are is the person that created your beliefs. So again, as you eliminate beliefs, you become more yourself rather than less yourself, because you're able to express yourself fully without fear of criticism or judgment, or without feeling like you have to be a certain way. You're not worried about the good opinion of others. So it's, yeah, it's actually quite the opposite. The more beliefs you get rid of, the more authentic you feel and the more comfortable you feel being your authentic self. So I hope that quells some of your fears about eliminating beliefs.
I don't know. And that's the interesting part about all this that I would, I'm sure that not much that I'm saying is new to you, but I think there's a lot more going on than is just acknowledging that I am limited by my beliefs. So
that's very true.
I don't know all my fears. I don't know all my limiting beliefs. I don't know what's going on.
That's true. That two points. That simply knowing that you're limited by your beliefs won't change anything, right? You have to actually get through the process and realize that you didn't see what you thought you saw, and that what you felt didn't come from reality, but from your own interpretations. And then, like you said, that not knowing all your beliefs, I mean, that's one of the things about working with a facilitator, is we're trained not just to eliminate beliefs, but to help you identify the beliefs that need to be eliminated. Because people don't come forward and say, oh, Brittany, I'd like to work with you. I have the belief mistakes and failures are bad and money is scarce and hard to find, right? People come forward and they say, well, I'm not really sure what my pattern is. You know, one really great example, I have a client that I work with who's a financial advisor, and he's been a very interesting client because he always says things like, I'm not observant. He says, all I know is that things aren't going well. And that's as much as I can tell you. And I say, well, okay, that's something. And together over these phone calls, we spend, you know, a solid 10, 15 minutes in the beginning of every session just trying to look at what is it exactly that's not working. He's having a hard time closing the deal. He feels like his clients don't really take well to him. He says, I kind of feel like I have an overall skeptical, negative demeanor, but that's not really a clear pattern. But it's not his job to know his pattern. It's my job to know what questions to ask, what key words and phrases to look for using my own experience to help him find those beliefs. That's not his job, right? That's mine. So it's definitely not your job to know all of your beliefs. It's my job, or whoever your facilitator's job is, to help you identify all of those patterns and beliefs. So in general, you know, you're going to come forward and you're going to say, I don't really know what the issue is, right? And we're going to help you to find that. So it sounds like your best bet at this point, again, would be to work with a facilitator, see what it feels like to really actually eliminate the beliefs, rather than, like you said, right now it sounds like you just have the knowledge that your beliefs limit you, but that's really it. You haven't experienced it. So I think once you experience it, it will really change your take. This is like you said, it's not the, this isn't the first, you're not the only person to ever feel this way. It's very, very common when people, especially people who are kinesthetic and have a hard time eliminating beliefs the first time around. So I think that would be really beneficial to you. And I think that it might change your mind quite a bit.
Let me offer you a possibility for a limiting belief.
Okay.
Which is not on the list.
Okay.
But comes up for me now. It is a limiting belief, which is the LEFCO method can't possibly work.
Yep, that is a great belief to work on, and it's something that people who have done psychotherapy, people who have tried self-help in the past, that most of them have. It's a really common belief among people in the self-help world because, you know, they've tried things before that haven't worked. But most importantly, my dad, you know, Morty always says that if he had gotten his degree in psychology, he would have never created the process, because what they teach you is that what we do is impossible, right? So basically, most people believe it's impossible to eliminate beliefs. And not until you actually do it can you believe it. So that's a very common belief. And the natural confidence is really just a list of the most typical self-esteem beliefs that everybody tends to have. So there's a lot of beliefs that are not on that list that work into other patterns. One of them, again, would be resistance to eliminating beliefs. That's a pattern. And that would be one belief that could definitely underlie that pattern, just the way, you know, we don't have beliefs about relationships in there. So very often we find people that have beliefs like men can't be trusted, or women can't be trusted, or men are selfish, or, you know, women are, you know, always cause problems. And those aren't beliefs that almost everybody has, so they're not on the list. But there's other beliefs that definitely affect other areas of our life and other kinds of patterns. So yeah, that's definitely a good suggestion. Thank you. That's definitely one that we look out for. So a lot of really, really great points that you brought up, Nitsan. I'm very appreciative that you participated. It's always really enjoyable to engage with people and help address some of the things on their mind. And I really do hope that you try to work with one of us to eliminate that belief so you can benefit from this process and experience being the creator of your life and see the results that come from eliminating those different beliefs. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to raise your hand, okay?
Yeah, thank you for calling on me.
Yeah, you got it. Take care. All right, so it looks like we've got another question from Bill. Brittany, is the test to see if a pattern is eliminated different from the test that a belief is eliminated? Yes. What a great question, Bill. Thank you so much for asking that question. It is really different. So when you want to see if a belief is gone, you say it out loud and you see how it feels. So we use maybe what's called the monkey test. I call it the banana test. You say, I'm not good enough. And then you say, I'm a monkey, or you say, I'm a banana. And if they feel the same, you know, the belief is gone. If I'm not good enough feels worse than I'm a banana, the belief is still there. So you want to make sure that there's no attachment to it at all, no feeling, no anything. And that is how you make sure that a belief is gone. With patterns, it's a little bit different. Patterns are described by either behavior and or emotion that are unwanted. So an example of a pattern statement would be, I get angry at my coworkers when they don't do what I want them to do. I yell at them. I don't want to yell at them, but I do anyway. I feel angry. And, you know, it's mostly in the office. It's with other people too, but mostly I get angry at work. That's a pattern. So there's nothing to say out loud, but the way that you test it is you go into the world and you notice how you feel. And then we ask you, you said 3 weeks ago, after, you know, before the three sessions that we had, that you get angry at your coworkers, that you yell, we read it back to you. Is that still true? And you say, you know, well, I was at work yesterday and, you know, somebody said something that I think really would have angered me in the past, but I just felt nothing. I didn't, you know, I didn't feel anything at all. So I guess it's gone, but I noticed that I still, you know, I still get angry when X, Y, and Z. So then you'd work on that. And then after the next week, we'd say, so did you notice anything different? You'd say, yeah, it's totally different. I don't get angry about that anymore. So you just look in your life and test, does what I describe still happen? If someone says I'm, you know, I get anxious if I feel like someone doesn't like me and I tend to withdraw, or I don't want to be in social situations because I feel like people won't like me. And then we work on it, say, do you still get anxious in social situations? You say, well, actually I was at a party last week and I felt great. Or, well, I don't get anxious when I'm around people I know, but I still get anxious around people that I don't know. And we'll say, okay, well, it sounds like the pattern is starting to go away, but there's still some other beliefs. And then we'd go ahead and address those beliefs and then ask you the next week, so is it gone? It says, excellent. That makes a lot of sense. And your explanation addresses the real world in context differences. Great. You're very welcome, Bill. I'm so glad I answered your question. So yeah, that's a great question. So the patterns, you just look into the world and you see what's the same and what's different. One thing that I do is at the beginning of every session, before we eliminate more beliefs, I say, these are the beliefs that we worked on last week. What did you notice? And I take notes and I write it down and I send it to my client, because very often when you eliminate beliefs, it's not something that you do actively. There's no homework. There's nothing that you practice, right? You just live and there's just different possibilities for you. Things are just different. So sometimes it can be easy to forget that you ever felt differently. It can be easy to not notice the changes. And so when we write them down, not only is it helpful for you to see the changes, but it's also really empowering for you to say, wow, you know, at the beginning of working together, I was depressed. I was happy 1% of the time. And I wanted to do things, but I just couldn't get myself to do them. I didn't want to get out of bed. And now I'm excited about my day. And I find myself doing things more and I'm less tired. And, you know, it's really, we're facilitators, but you know, when push comes to shove, we don't really take credit for your changes. You're the one that goes through the process and eliminates the beliefs. So, when it comes to patterns, it's really good to gauge throughout working, how are things going? What changes am I seeing? So that you can compare how things were and how things are now. Great question, Bill. Thank you so much. Does anybody else have any questions? Take a moment and see. Maybe I can call on Rick. Rick, can you hear me? I can't hear Rick, but it looks like we've got another question written down over here. From my experience, what would be the advantage of ever starting to eliminate a belief instead of a pattern? That's a really, really good question. I would say that unless it is a free belief, you know, that you're doing for the first time, or a particular belief that you're really attached to, there is no benefit. So I would say that our job as facilitators is not to eliminate beliefs. It's to eliminate patterns. And this is something I actually really have had to have self-discipline about as a facilitator, because I'll be working with a client on money and they'll be saying, you know, my priority is money. And we'll be talking and they'll make a comment and they'll say, God, I always snap at my wife. And it's, you know, and I know that they have the belief I'm powerless and I so badly want to work with them on it, but I have a commitment to get rid of their money issues before I start dealing with the fact that they snap at their wife, right? Or we'll be working on perfectionism, right? And they'll say, well, I know that I have the belief that people can't be trusted. Well, that's a belief that is really important and a belief that I would love to get rid of, but again, getting rid of just that belief isn't going to produce the results the way getting rid of the entire pattern of perfectionism is. And then moving on to address what is the pattern, what beliefs do you have about people and what is the pattern, and addressing that as a whole. So I would say in general, what we do as facilitators is we say, what are the patterns you want to work on? Then we prioritize and then we work on them one at a time. And we really try, unless, you know, sometimes there's going to be exceptions, but we really try in general to not get lost in working on other beliefs. So yeah, exactly. The idea, Bill just asked, the big leverage is addressing the pattern, isn't it? So yeah, exactly. So getting rid of beliefs are a means to an end. So what patterns are is the result of a number of underlying beliefs. So let's say that there's 12 beliefs that you have that cause you to procrastinate. That's what procrastination is. Procrastination is the consequence of having those 12 beliefs. And when you eliminate those 12 beliefs, you no longer procrastinate. So again, eliminating beliefs as such is empowering. It will make changes in your life. It is opening up possibilities, but it is not getting rid of the problem. So it is getting rid of the 12 underlying beliefs that cause the pattern. That's what's going to really change your life. So exactly, a pattern can be thought of exactly as Bill just suggested, as a collection or a cluster of beliefs. And as you get rid of the beliefs, the pattern will morph, it will change, it will get better. But until you get rid of all of the underlying beliefs, it will not go away completely. So we're very clear in sessions. We're not here to eliminate random beliefs. We want to find out what is the problem. Write a clear pattern. In the LEFCO method training course, we teach people how to become facilitators. So how do you eliminate beliefs? And then how do you turn a messy problem into patterns that you can eliminate? And part of what we teach is that you create clear pattern statements so that you know exactly what you're working on and you don't get lost. So if you're working on three patterns at the same time, at some point, you know, you're going to be in a position where the client says, you know, I'm feeling a lot better in general, but I'm still procrastinating. You're not doing what I'm asking you to do. So we are very, very careful about having clear pattern statements so that we can eliminate all of those beliefs and you can see the exact result that you're looking for, which is I don't procrastinate. I'm not afraid to speak in public. I no longer have a low level of self-confidence. I feel comfortable in my job, you know, for whatever reason they didn't feel comfortable before. So that is the difference between patterns and beliefs in general. Bill, does that answer your question? Does anybody else, is that unclear for anybody? Is there anything else I can address? Great. Looks like the question was answered. Thank you, Bill. Great, great question. Loving the participation here. It really, really makes a difference. So going back to this idea of patterns that, again, a lot of patterns are clear, that fear of public speaking, procrastination, those are common terms that we know and use as a society. Oh God, I'm such a procrastinator. Or, you know, fear of public speaking is the number one fear in the nation. But very often things are not that clear. Like I said, with my financial advising client, it's been a really fun, creative process working with him, because he comes forward each week again, I have a generally negative demeanor. I tend to be pessimistic. That's not really a clear pattern. So what we do is I ask him questions, I have him describe scenarios, and we together create clear patterns. So it's easy to feel like I don't have any patterns. I don't procrastinate. I'm generally confident, you know, but when there are things in your life that aren't as you want them to be, you know, you're not as comfortable as you could be. You're not as successful as you could be. You're not as happy as you could be. You tend to get frustrated easily. Anything like that. Those are all the result. Those are all patterns. Those are all the result of clusters or collections of beliefs that cause you to behave or feel in a way that is unwanted or negative, or somehow prevents you from being as successful as you could be. And a place that we often have to face our beliefs in new ways, excuse me, is during transitions. When we get a promotion, we're extremely excited, but sometimes we have new responsibilities, and sometimes latent beliefs that we were unaware of surface, latent patterns that we weren't needing to face on a day-to-day basis are now surfacing. Sometimes we're going into retirement. Sometimes we lose a loved one. So sometimes, you know, even going from college out into the real world for your first job. So different life transitions, getting married, buying a house, having a baby, are places where we very often experience a sense of dislocation, because beliefs that we didn't know we had, or patterns that we never had to face all of a sudden come up, and now we have to deal with these new and sometimes challenging, you know, life changes. So transitions are a time when we are really faced with our beliefs. So it's just another kind of interesting tidbit. So we've got about 10-ish more minutes if people have questions. I always, you know, come prepared with things to talk about. But again, I know the place where the most value is to be gained is engaging with you guys in conversation and answering questions. I'm going to see Christy. I'm going to try to unmute you. Did you have any questions? Can you hear me? Christy? I heard some noise, but I'm unable to hear your voice. If you have if you don't have a microphone, or if it's not working, I don't know if you want to type something in, or if there's no other questions, I guess we covered a lot. I want to make sure I'm not overwhelming you guys. It's really important that we get feedback. Again, I'm here for you guys. I'm here to answer your questions, to provide you with as much value as possible. But I don't know what you're most interested in hearing or if it's valuable. So if you're finding these webinars valuable, if there's certain topics that you would like us to talk about, if you'd like me to talk about, any questions, comments, anything that you would find valuable, please send an email to anyone at the Lefkoe Institute or to me. You can get me at blefkoe@gmail.com, and I would be glad to get back to you and to address whatever your question or comment is. In our webinar next month. If you're finding these valuable, please let us know. If we don't think people are interested, we won't continue to do them. So keep us posted on how they're going. Are you liking what I'm talking about? I love critical feedback. So anything that you want to say, I'm glad to hear. I guess that's all for today. For everybody that attended, thank you so much for being here, for taking your time to listen in. For those of you that participated, a special thanks. And to everybody listening in who couldn't be here live, either because of time difference or other complications, thank you also for taking the time to listen. Please send in questions in advance. We really want to address your questions. Oh, Nitsan, it looks like you've got your hand up. Nitsan.
Yeah, I have some feedback, if I may.
Absolutely.
I think I have found that tone of voice has an enormous effect on me.
Yes.
And I find that Morty's tone of voice in the 14, 17, however many beliefs they are, it's two things. One is that maybe it's just one thing. It's always the same.
Monotone.
It's a monotone. It's almost a cross-examination tone. It's not an eager tone. A compassionate, empathic tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the beginning, I say, okay, logic, logic, logic. Yes, no, yes, of course. Yeah, okay, I get the logic. But 17 times to go through that, or however many times it is interspersed with ante. So it works against me.
Uh-huh.
Because this isn't a logical process. It's a subconscious process.
Right.
There is logic in it, but if it's only going to be logical, it'll just scratch the surface.
Right.
And so when I listen to somebody like Eckhart Tolle, who's whispering his sentences, you know, there's a sense of immediacy to the way he talks. Not immediacy, logical immediacy, but real, a different approach anyway. There are probably a thousand different approaches. So there are different people who say things differently. Or you hear Tony Robbins talk. There are all sorts of voices. And to have the same voice every time and just make it like a hammer against my illogic or hammering logic at me, considering I'm going through it on a list, right? I finish one, I go to the next one. So I think either if he would, if the voices would be different, whether it's different people or it's different Morty, you know, whatever, there has to be different emotional values in the tones of voice that make it not only because
more engaging,
much engaging from different directions and make it more alive.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Thank you for that feedback. I will say that you're probably not the first person to say that. My dad is extremely logical, and that comes off comes through in his voice. And I think it's something that he's been made aware of pretty recently. And I think that the things that he's speaking in, he's really made an effort to. My dad's probably the most loving human being I've ever met in my entire life. I've never met anybody so filled with love, and it's never really come through in his voice when he's, you know, being videotaped or speaking. And so we've encouraged him to try to express his love more through his voice, you know, verbally, like you said, through his tone of voice. So I think it's something that he is aware of, and it's a note that I will definitely bring back to him and remind him of. And it is important to, you know the way that people are responding to his voice, especially when you're not really getting to have a full sense of him. All you get is his voice. So I will definitely bring that feedback to him. You're not the first person to say it, and I will make sure that he knows, you know, how big of a difference it makes. But I've noticed a pretty huge difference recently. I think he's definitely worked on that and tried to make his voice a little bit more dynamic. But yeah, I can understand that. For now, I would say maybe sometimes doing the beliefs in clusters of three, or, you know, not doing them all at the same time. Or again, given that I had suggested you maybe work with another facilitator, my voice tends to, I can get pretty lively. My mom is the same way. Shelly, she's very passionate and very lively with her voice. So, you know, sometimes maybe it's just preference that certain people, like you said, Eckhart Tolle, you know, is a voice that you really appreciate, where I'm sure certain people probably have a really hard time with the quiet of his voice and want a little bit loud and passion. For some people, maybe I'm too loud. They'd rather someone quieter. So, some of it could be preference, that it might work better for you to work with either me or Shelly or someone else. But I will definitely bring that feedback back to him and remind him how important it is that he's able to really fully express himself through his voice. Because, yeah, his voice has always been very monotone. But if you look in his eyes, you can see, you know, how much love there is there. That, you know, I've mentioned before publicly that staff meetings are kind of an experience. It's a free-for-all where my dad kind of talks about just how he wants to improve the quality of everyone's lives on the planet, these grandiose ideas of just having everybody eliminate their suffering and be happy and experience love. I mean, he just cares so deeply about humankind, and that's why he, you know, does what he does. And that's why on a Saturday morning, I'll call him and he's sitting, you know, working and reading and trying to learn more and improve and find ways of getting his work out into the world. How can I reach people? How can I let them know that this stuff really works? How can I show them? So yeah, it's, you know, it's hard that doesn't always show in his voice, but I know that that's something he's aware of and something I will suggest he continues to work on. So thank you for that feedback. I know that, like I said, I appreciate critical feedback. So does he. And so does really everybody that works for this company. We all really just, we're a very small group of people that really care and really love the people that we help. And so anything that we can do to improve, we're all very open. So thank you so much for coming forward with that, Nitsan.
Well, I have even another suggestion now that you've talked, or now that I've talked, and that is not just the tone of voice could change, and I mean change not only that it could be more rich and spontaneous, but that it could be different for each of the 14 or however many beliefs. But there's
one. Yeah, that is something we talked about. Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that there's almost the same wording, maybe exactly the same wording, every time. And my mind goes, oh, here he goes again. I begin talking along with him, yeah, because I've heard this.
On autopilot.
If he's going to be on autopilot, why shouldn't I?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think at this point, redoing natural confidence would be a pretty huge undertaking. So I don't know that that is a priority specifically right now, because I know there's a lot of other projects going on. But it is something on the table. It is something that, you know, we would love to do. And at some point when it permits to put our energy and our focus and our time there, that's definitely, you know, something to be aware of. But yeah, so I don't know that redoing natural confidence will happen right now. But again, it's definitely on the table. And for the future, you know, my dad does lead a couple of the webinars, and there are a number of places where his voice exists. And I will, as somebody, you know, who looks over a lot of the material and who's involved in creating different projects, programs, courses, I'll make sure to keep that in mind, that maybe different voices, different wording, stuff like that, that is really important, and that those are things that people are maybe feeling like are a bit repetitive. So yeah, no, that's great advice. And I will, I made a little note of it, and I will take that back and definitely discuss it during our staff meeting on Friday.
And I also have a last suggestion, that if you say his eyes are so expressive, have a platinum level that FedEx his eyes to me.
All right. That is, we'll do our best.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. Thank you so much, Nitsan, for all of your participation. Again, thank you so much to everybody that was here today, and for everybody listening in. This is the third Monday of the month. My name is Brittany, and this was the webinar for all of our session clients. Take care. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we look forward to seeing you again next month.